From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. Last week, North Carolina signed into law legislation that swept away protections for LGBT people. Today, that law is being challenged in court and criticized by big corporations, IBM, PayPal, Apple, American Airlines, and more. This morning, the Georgia governor vetoed a bill that would have allowed religious groups to deny service to LGBT people. There's a chorus of support and outcry there, too, including pushback from Delta, Disney, the NFL. States and state legislatures are the new battleground on gay rights. This hour, On Point, North Carolina, Georgia, and what's going on with LGBT rights and the religious liberty movement in the states. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Did you think this fight was over? How do you read the pushback now? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. People on all sides on this, lots of outcry over the measures that have been taken. And today, news out of Georgia. Joining me first from New York is Dominic Holden. He's the national LGBT reporter for BuzzFeed. Dominic, welcome back to On Point.
Tom, thank you for having me.
So I'm looking at your story from a few days back saying the Georgia governor appears skeptical of this so-called religious protection bill passed by the legislature, but nobody knew what he would do. And today, the veto. Tell us what was this in the legislation, and what do you think brought him to say no?
Well, this was a very strange bill. It had started out as what was dubbed a Pastor Protection Act that would simply say that the clergy did not have to perform any services, that they did not want to perform for same-sex couples. This is widely understood to be a right already protected under the Constitution and under state laws. So this was not alarming to people. But when it worked through the legislative process in the Senate, it took on new language. And then earlier this month, there was an entirely new compromise bill that was passed. And this version would have allowed religious organizations to discriminate in employment or refuse charitable services. And it also included parts of a religious freedom style of law that we've seen in other states and federally. And the concern that came from Governor Deal today was that this essentially opened the door to a type of state sanctioned discrimination. And so he announced that he was breaking with some of the evangelical base of the Republican Party and siding more with the corporate interests of the Republican Party, who have increasingly come out against bills that target LGBT people.
I mean, this was a big deal. He's up for re-election this fall, right? So he's right there on the line.
He is. And, you know, he was under a lot of pressure. Marvel and Disney had just said that they would pull filming out of the state if he did not veto the law. So this really set him up for a difficult situation if he signed it, and then he was at odds with the economic interests of the state.
Fascinating how you've got cultural pushback here from some quarters and then corporate pushback on restrictions. Last week we heard Georgia State Senator, small business owner Mike Crane. I've got a little clip of him here saying that the governor needed to sign the bill that he said would protect religious liberty. Crane's running for the U.S. Congress.
There's an undermining of religious freedom in this nation. The Christian community in particular is really the group that's going to end up being discriminated against if the states don't stand up and say this liberty is important.
An undermining of religious liberty, said the Georgia legislator there, or religious freedom, that is the freedom to refuse compromise or services here. But as you say, Dominic, the business pushback was hard and quick. Here was Mark Benioff. This is CEO of Salesforce. They've got a headquarters in San Francisco, but talking to CNN about repercussions if the Georgia governor, Nathan Deal, did not veto that bill, he said would allow discrimination against the LGBT community.
We can't have a program in Georgia, a major conference or a major employment surge in Georgia, when it becomes a discriminatory state. Exactly the same thing we said in Indiana. Mm-hmm. Georgia wants us to bring a 15,000-person conference to Georgia in May, which is called our Connections Conference, something they've been advocating for and that we agreed to. Now they're saying that we have to bring our LGBT employees and customers to Georgia to face that discrimination. We say no way.
The CEO of Salesforce saying no way. You do that. We're not coming. Today, the Georgia governor vetoing this bill. I misspoke saying he's up for re-election, just elected again in 2014. But the pressure has been fierce. Here was the CEO of the Atlanta Convention and Visitors Bureau. That gets a lot of attention in Atlanta. William Pate talking with CNN last week. He opposed the bill.
This legislation as it stands today, if it becomes law, it's going to have a significant impact on our business. And I think it will have significant impact on other businesses in the state.
How much money are you talking?
I think it could be as much as $6 billion, and it might be $3
billion. And that's a lot of money. Here was the Georgia governor this morning, Republican Governor Nathan Deal, announcing he would veto House Bill 757, talking at a news conference at his office this morning in Atlanta.
Our actions on House Bill 757 are not just about protecting the faith-based community or providing business-friendly climate for job growth in Georgia. I believe it is about the character of our state and the character of our people. Georgia is a welcoming state.
That veto was not a sure thing, but it has happened today. Dominic Holden, please stand by in New York. With us right now from Columbus, Georgia, is Josh McCune, Republican state senator from Georgia, represents District 29 there, big advocate for the so-called religious liberty legislation that was vetoed today. Representative McCune, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, Tom. Thank you for having me.
How do you interpret the governor's veto? What just happened?
Well, obviously, a very strong message has been sent to people of faith around Georgia that their protection under state law is subservient to the desires of a handful of corporate CEOs and some far-left outrage groups. And I'm extremely disappointed. You know, this bill had been significantly watered down. It only applied to pastors, houses of worship, and explicitly faith-based nonprofits. It did not apply to business, and I'm very, very disappointed that the governor would veto this very modest protection for people of faith in our state.
You say far-left outrage groups, but there have been pretty mainstream gay rights, LGBT rights groups who have been upset about this. What about their concerns, the argument that this would represent active discrimination?
You know, we had hours and hours of testimony on this legislation over the last two legislative sessions. We were never confronted with any evidence that this legislation would have enabled or encouraged discrimination of any kind. All it would have done is provide important protections for people of faith in our state. Those concerns were entirely unfounded. I think, frankly, they saw a blueprint in Indiana to pivot entirely away from an issue about safeguarding the right of free exercise in our state to passing a statewide non-discrimination law. I'm sure now that the governor has caved and vetoed this bill that we will now start hearing a drumbeat for that. It's a, you know, clearly the political strategy that they had in place, and it, at least as far as the governor is concerned, it appears to be working.
Why do you think, Josh McCune, that these corporate heavyweights would have brought so much pressure to bear on Governor Deal?
Well, I think it's very easy to get positive press using the General Assembly as a foil to push this false narrative that this bill was somehow a bad thing and that by standing against it, you're standing for so-called values of tolerance and inclusivity. That's you know, it's a cheap way to get positive press. I mean, all of these companies do business with some of the most repressive regimes on earth, countries that have actual anti-gay laws where it's a crime, your sexuality is a crime, where you can be incarcerated, you can be caned, you can even be subject to capital punishment. These companies have no compunction whatsoever about making money and increasing their bottom line by doing business in those countries. It's just breathtakingly hypocritical, the position that they've taken on a bill that offered modest protections for people of faith in our state.
Josh McCune, can you stand by? Dominic Holden, describe for us, if you would, what's been going on not far from Georgia in North Carolina and the legislation that has passed there and become law.
The legislation in North Carolina, House Bill 2 that passed last week, would allow the state, or it says that the state has new rules that ban transgender students from using restrooms that correspond with their gender identity. That also applies to transgender people in publicly run buildings. Moreover, what it does is it overrides and repeals LGBT non-discrimination ordinances in the entire state. And it was passed as a backlash to an LGBT non-discrimination law in the city of Charlotte.
So when you put it all together, what's happened in Georgia today, what we saw last week in North Carolina, what's the trend line look like? How many states are entertaining legislation that would promote religious liberty, as their supporters put it, or would curtail gay rights, as opponents would put it, and how many are actually moving forward?
Well, this year there was an unprecedented number of bills that were filed that many people believe targeted LGBT people. The vast majority of them are different types of religious protection bills. I believe the ACLU had tracked about 105 of these bills this year, more than double what we saw before. But there were also bills that would restrict transgender people's access to restrooms. About 8 states had legislation actually moving forward, and among them we saw this religious protection bill in Georgia. There's also a bill moving in Missouri that would create a constitutional amendment that protects individuals who decline to provide creative services, such as a wedding cake to a same-sex couple. The bills that concern transgender students, there's one that had passed in the legislature in South Dakota. It was ultimately vetoed by the governor. Due to some concerns about conflict with federal civil rights law. Bills failed in Washington state. And although bills had been moving in Tennessee, they then stalled and then may be resurrected now. At this point, it looks like we see action in at least 2 more states. But while there's been a large backlash with this legislation to the Supreme Court's decision in 2015 legalizing same-sex marriage nationwide, ultimately, what you see now is a bit of a stalemate where LGBT organizations and corporations are pushing back against the bills, and only a few of them are actually moving forward.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about new state laws pushing back on LGBT rights in North Carolina, Georgia, where there was a vetoed legislation today by the Governor Nathan Deal there, looking at the fight to decide exactly what those rights will be around this country, state by state. You can join us this hour. Have you seen how many states are pushing some kind of restriction on these rights or for religious freedom, religious liberty, as they're often framed? Have you heard the news, the laws out of North Carolina, Georgia? Have you been in the middle of those fights? What is going on here? Is it a trampling of rights to tell a trans person which bathroom they can use? Or do you see bigger implications here? Josh McCune is with us, Republican state senator from Georgia, with us today from Columbus, Georgia. Columbus was a big supporter of the bill, vetoed today by Governor Nathan Deal there after a lot of corporate pressure and more. Dominic Holden is with us from New York, national LGBT reporter at BuzzFeed. Part of the North Carolina bill was around public restrooms and who could use those. This was Sarah Preston of the ACLU before the legislature there in Charlotte earlier this month, talking about why transgender people needed the right to choose the bathroom that matched their gender identity.
Half of the transgender individuals surveyed in North Carolina recently reported being harassed in public accommodations.
But here was a student, Chloe Jefferson, before legislators in North Carolina, talked about feeling uncomfortable having transgender women in the same bathroom as her.
What about my rights to privacy and wishes to not be exposed to young males changing and showering beside me?
The Atlanta or Georgia governor, Nathan Deal, has vetoed today, but the North Carolina Republican governor, Pat McGrory, talked with ABC's Eyewitness 11 last week about the response to signing what's known as there as House Bill 2 in North Carolina.
I think it's my job as governor to ensure that we protect that basic expectation of privacy in a most private moment in each individual lives. I can't believe we're even having to talk about this due to the city of Charlotte government and mayor's overreach.
Charlotte had moved for local legislation protecting gay rights. That turned back by the state legislature. Here was the mayor there in Charlotte, Jennifer Roberts, condemning the new bill in North Carolina, saying it was discriminatory.
This legislation is literally the most anti-LGBT legislation in the country. And it does this not just in Charlotte, but all across our state.
We've got Josh McCune with us from Georgia, where there's been a lot of action in recent days. And right now from North Carolina, Raleigh, Simone Bell joins us. She is Southern Regional Director for Lambda Legal, National LGBT Legal Advocacy Organization. They filed suit earlier today against North Carolina to stop that state from enforcing House Bill 2 there. She's a former Georgia state senator, first out black lesbian to serve in the state legislature in the United States. Simone Bell, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Tom. I appreciate it.
North Carolina's governor signed. Georgia's governor did not. What's the difference in the politics of the two states that might have brought those two different outcomes?
I think it is that Georgia, we've been working to kill that legislation for about 3 years. And with North Carolina, this was done within 12 hours, calling a special session and really not given the opportunity for debate.
And in North Carolina, it went right through.
Absolutely. And I think that's the speed of legislation, and that is how things are done. And in my opinion, when you're trying to pass bad legislation, you don't give it an opportunity.
Describe just how quickly this all unfolded in North Carolina, if you would, Simone.
The governor called a special session. Legislation was leaked late at night to certain people. The legislators actually had access to it the day of. They did their morning orders, immediately sent it to committee. I believe the chair of the committee allowed 5 minutes for the legislators to actually review the bill. He started public comment, which I believe was 30 minutes. So there were maybe 2 to 3 people on each side of the issue. It immediately went over to the Senate. Within an hour or so, it was debated in the Senate. As you know, the Democrats walked out because they also felt like the governor and the legislator were circumventing the governance process. And later that evening, shortly after the Senate voted and passed it, the governor signed it. I think all in all, this process probably took 12 hours.
That's what you call highly expedited. What about Josh McCune is with us, state senator from Georgia, and he's concerned about people's religious liberty, feels that it's being run over here as the country's culture and expectations may be changing around gay rights, Simone.
Well, as I've said to my former colleagues, and I served in the House, as I said to my former colleagues there, there's no HR with religion. And the idea that somehow people who are LGBT are not religious and are not people of faith is asinine. I think when we put forth the idea that religious freedom is under attack and that discrimination must be written into the law, it does not take into the account that LGBT people are religious. And with this particular type of bill, it's going against our religion freedom, our religious freedom, to accept who we have been chosen to be, who we are. And so we can all sit on the same pew in the same church, but have a different idea and a different interpretation of religion.
Senator McCune, there in Columbus, Georgia, could you just describe for us exactly what religious freedom you see curtailed without the legislation that you wanted there in Georgia, and more generally, your concern more specifically? What exactly is, in your view, threatened here, sir?
Well, I think what certainly motivated the First Amendment Defense Act portion of House Bill 757 was the Supreme Court's decision last summer redefining marriage, and Justice Alito asking the Solicitor General of the United States, what does this mean for the tax-exempt status of houses of worship that teach traditional marriage? And if you read that decision in concert with other Supreme Court cases, there's a very real concern that state and local government may start using the power of the government to punish houses of worship, religious schools, may even begin to deny professional licenses to people on the basis of their sincerely held religious beliefs. None of that has anything to do with diminishing
the rights of an LGBT individual in our state. Nothing about that diminishes the rights, responsibilities, and privileges of a same-sex married couple in our state. What it does do is it provides a modest level of protection for people of faith, for people of every faith, so that we can continue to enjoy the pluralistic tradition we've had with respect to religious beliefs. Representative Bell and I may disagree. We may have very different religious beliefs. We ought to respect each other's religious beliefs, and we certainly should not try to aggregate the machinery of government to ourselves to silence those with whom we disagree. And that's the issue that House Bill 757 was trying to address.
Do you agree with Simone Bell that people of faith of different sexuality might sit in the same pew within this under the same umbrella of religion, Christianity in your case?
I'm not denying at all that people of every walk of life can be religious and hold very different points of view on marriage and the family and on lots of other different subjects. What I'm saying is that government should be a neutral referee in dealing with various points of view and various religious faiths. Government should not be placing its hand on the scales and saying, if your religious beliefs fall in column A, we'll leave you alone. If they fall in column B, we're going to revoke the accreditation of your school. We're going to assess property taxes on your church. We're going to revoke your professional license. And those are the things that people of faith in our state are very concerned about. And House Bill 757 dealt with that, and it dealt with it in a very respectful way. We made sure that there were not provisions that dealt with business owners and some of the other well-publicized cases we've had around the country. I mean, you've been talking about this North Carolina statute that explicitly invalidates an LGBT local ordinance. House Bill 757 didn't come close to doing anything like that.
Simone, how about it? This was an effort to thread the needle, respect the religious views of some, but not go too far. What do you say? It's vetoed now, but...
Well, I think it's important to say that there is no such thing as a little discrimination. Either you're going to discriminate or you're not going to discriminate. I think it's also important to say that House Bill 757 was an expanded bill, even from Senator McCoon's first religious freedom bill, which is a bill that we tried to make compromise on and actually put in civil rights legislation, civil rights amendment that protected LGBT people. Once that was done, they immediately killed the bill, and that made it known specifically that this was absolutely about LGBT people. Listen, at the end of the day, we have a right to justice. We are taxpayers. We sit in the same churches. And also, the U.S. Constitution already covers religious freedom. No one has to marry anyone, regardless of their sexuality, should they choose not to. That's seen in every faith. People have to go to counseling. If that particular clergy member doesn't think that it's the right situation, they don't have to marry. This is a direct response to the Supreme Court overruling and moving America forward in progress. And it's my belief that the strategy has been, well, since they being LGBT people, marriage, now we're going to go after the protections that we've been fighting for forever. We're looking at public accommodations. Georgia is the one of several states that does not have a civil rights law. When they tried to enact one this last session, they tried to do it off the 1964 law. Rather than bringing it into the 21st century to a 2016 that would expand and cover additional people in that particular law. So for me, it's about going backwards as opposed to moving America forward and making the changes that are necessary with a progressing society.
Dominic Holden, in New York, where do you see the undefined territory here that's being fought over in states now? The Supreme Court ultimately came up pretty clearly on gay marriage. There are plenty of other issues around employment, around public accommodation, we're hearing around public restrooms, around what's being described as religious liberty. Where do you see the undefined territory that's being contested?
Well, I think it's important to understand with a lot of these religious freedom bills that nobody knows exactly what their impact is going to be. Many of them are written slightly different from one another, but they haven't been litigated to determine if they do allow for discrimination. The concern is that they could open the door for it and that courts will ultimately decide. I think it's important also to note that Mr. McCune was talking about the bill in Georgia, and he was talking about protecting clergy and houses of worship, and I think that there is definitely a concern of a slippery slope there. But people weren't concerned about the bill in Georgia until it was expanded to also include religious organizations, which appeared to include publicly funded religious organizations.
Well, this is like
that
hospitals
turn away
or what?
People.
Or charity?
You know, I don't have the answer for that. I don't know exactly how broad that definition could be. But the outrage that you saw in Georgia was the idea that organizations that are not just holding a private worship service, not just clergy, but organizations interacting with the public would simply not be fair, that they could discriminate. So I think that that's the distinction between a narrowly tailored religious freedom bill that we've seen in some places and what happened in Georgia or what happened last year in Indiana. We will see a number of these religious protection bills continue to be introduced, and some are going to go by without raising many eyebrows. But if they do look like they allow private organizations, if they do allow businesses, you're going to see more of these conflicts. And one of the things that we see in these conflicts again and again is this concern not just about religious infringement, but the idea that LGBT protections would somehow allow transgender people to act as predators in public restrooms. This was the impetus for the entire bill in North Carolina. We've heard it come up when repealing LGBT ordinances, such as one in Houston last year. And it's really key to note that, I mean, just to stick with the facts here, there are LGBT non-discrimination laws in 17 states and about 225 cities, and there are no instances of a transgender person or someone posing as transgender exploiting that law for predatory behavior or using it as a defense for that sort of behavior in a restroom.
Josh McCune, did you overreach in the end in bringing in religious organizations beyond houses of worship here? Do you think that was where you left yourself open to the veto?
Not at all. I mean, I think when you have Ryan Anderson, who's written widely on this subject, writing an article for the Daily Signal saying Georgia guts religious liberty bill, when we limit it to the free exercise of religion. I mean, I think part of this debate has been there are a lot of people in this country, not necessarily in Georgia, where I didn't see a lot of opposition from Georgians on this issue, but there are a lot of people in this country that think your freedom of religion or you have freedom to worship, that you can exercise your faith at your home and at your designated house of worship for an hour during your designated holy day. And that's not what we were given in the Constitution. We were given a much broader scope. And I think that we, frankly, narrowed the bill far beyond what the original proposal was. And we narrowed it to limit it to organizations with an explicit religious mission. And even there, when you had organizations that were receiving government funding, grants, or contracts, at lines 94 and 95 of the bill, we made it very clear that once they signed the contract, they had to accept all of the terms. So they couldn't, a faith-based organization couldn't say, we're going to provide assistance to victims of domestic violence, sign a contract that says you're not going to discriminate on any basis, and then begin to discriminate.
Senator McCune, I just got you for half a minute more. Do you think that we can have equal rights for LGBT people without discriminating against the religious liberties that you're concerned with here? Can we just have equal rights for everybody, period?
I think the question that we have to resolve is whether or not government's going to be used to punish people with a particular religious point of view. I see that occurring in my state. That's why I've spent the last 2.5 years fighting for this legislation. I'm disappointed the governor vetoed the bill, and I fully expect that we'll be back next year debating this topic again
since we weren't able to get this very modest compromise legislation signed by a Republican governor.
Josh McCune, state senator, Republican in Georgia, with us today from Columbus, Georgia, has been right in the thick of this fight. Senator McCune, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much.
This On Point podcast is supported by Squarespace. If you have a passion that you obsess over, if it keeps you up at night, if you live for it, you should show it off. With easy-to-use tools and templates, Squarespace helps you showcase every detail of what drives you. Because if it's worth the effort, it's worth showing to the world. Start your free trial today. Visit squarespace.com/onpoint. That's squarespace.com/onpoint. Squarespace.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about new state laws pushing back on LGBT rights in North Carolina. Georgia veto today. The fight to decide exactly what those rights will be. A lot of it going on at the state level. You can join us this hour. Did you think the Supreme Court's gay marriage ruling had settled all of this? Are we going to be a national, state-by-state patchwork of different rights and liberties depending where you live? Will corporate America be the force that forces change? It appeared to be quite influential in Georgia Governor Nathan Deal's veto of legislation there today. Of course, North Carolina, the umbrella here was primarily about who's going to be using what bathrooms. It went through very quickly last week, House Bill 2. Here was Sabrina Sebring, Southerners on New Ground last week at a protest and rally.
People are outraged at this legislation. It is an injustice and an act of violence against our entire community.
And here's North Carolina transgender teen Sky Thompson telling NBC he doesn't belong in the girls' bathroom now and would make girls uncomfortable.
People are going to freak out because I look like a guy. People are going to be like, why is there a boy in here? And they're going to cause a scene like they did when I was younger.
So lots of response online here. Mandy says, how about the simple fact that discrimination is just plain wrong. As a resident of Georgia, I don't want this. For now, she won't have it. The governor has vetoed there. Jeff writes to us, so whose feelings are more important? The 0.1% of transgender people who can choose which bathroom to use regardless of their actual gender, he says, or the 99.9% of people who are cisgender, straight used to be called. Why can't we create safe spaces in bathrooms, locker rooms? Here's another listener says, bathrooms are the excuse. Fear and hate are the reason for these moves. Jesus would not be pleased. 800-423-8255 is our number. Dominic Holden is with us, national LGBT reporter at BuzzFeed. Simone Bell is with us, Southern Regional Director for Lambda Legal, national LGBT legal advocacy group. They are filing suit today against North Carolina to stop the legislation there. We'll look at that. Victoria in Omaha, Nebraska is calling. Hi, Victoria. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I was calling because Omaha is one of the 225 cities with LGBT protections. Mm-hmm. However, we have a religious exemption here. And how this has played out, I'm an LGBT Catholic, and I was recently laid off in January. Mm-hmm. And so I've been applying like crazy for jobs. A local homeless shelter is looking for a development officer. I'm 100% qualified. However, they have made a caveat of application that you must be a born-again Christian. So the religious exemption is now provided that they can discriminate against people who are of other Christian backgrounds and faiths.
Okay.
So I was curious to hear, I guess, your panel's thoughts and feelings on religious exemptions then being used to discriminate against people of different faith backgrounds because, say, a Muslim or a Hindu or a Jewish person could also not apply at that homeless shelter for the position.
I mean, you start perhaps with the intent of working on sexuality, and pretty soon you're in other terrain. Simone, I mean, you're a Lambda Legal person. Do you see this bleeding over if once you start exercising religious liberty to discriminate, I guess you'd have to say, that it could be used in lots of directions?
It absolutely could, and I appreciate her making the point, and I'll go back to what I said before. Mm-hmm. There is no HR. There is no there's no way for us to know at what point does it stop. But I think the bigger thing also is the optic of it. While legislators might understand what they're trying to do, everyday folks may not have a full understanding of what the law means and what it does say. What people will hear is that I don't have to do anything for an LGBT person because of my religious freedom. What it also says is, I'm a Christian, and let's be clear, that's where this bill is stemming from. I'm a Christian, and so my religious belief should shield me and preempt me and have pre-exemptions for what I have to do for others who don't practice my same type of religion. So that's how these particular bills are so broad. And yes, that's why they have to be stopped.
Miami, Florida, Mark is calling. Hi, Mark, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I want to ask the listeners a question. Is it preference, privilege, or illness? Down syndrome is an illness. Now, if we have a preference or privilege, should we make it in law? And we not say it. Now, one caller talked about the kids. Kids go in the mall. Kids go in the restroom, too. Now, we as adults, we can't live and bring in law as adults only. What about the kids? If let's say a gay person, a guy, go in the restroom after a little kid, and a little kid see him in there dressed as a woman, how could you explain that? Are we being, as Americans, fair and balanced to the little kids?
Mark, I appreciate your call. Simone, the line was rough there, but you know, Mark's concerned about what children will make of people with a gender identity that, you know, may not match up with the expectation of the men's or the women's bathroom, and how adults explain that.
Well, I think that's a myth, because transgender people have always existed, and they've always been in the bathroom of their gender. Mm. So this is not something that just started last week. Mm-hmm. Transgender women are not men dressed as women. They are women. And I'm sure women and children have already shared bathrooms with transgender women, as have transgender men in the men's bathroom.
And just not known it.
And just
quite
not
typically.
Known it, which is how it should be. People should just be able to go in, take care of their business, and come out. There have been no incidences on record or that we're aware of where transgender people over the past 50 or 60 years have gone in to be predators. That's a peddling of a myth that they are predators.
Your group is among those who are bringing suit, I guess, about the North Carolina law. Are you going after the bathroom part of it, or the part that says localities cannot pass their own anti-discrimination rules for gay and lesbian residents? I mean, after all, this began in a way with the state legislature pushing back against Charlotte, North Carolina, biggest city there, which had passed its own anti-discrimination rules. Those now overruled by the state legislature. On what grounds are you challenging this law?
We are looking at the law from a number of different areas. As you know, we filed it this morning. That was filed by our attorneys around 1:47. I have just come from being a part of a press conference, so I don't have the particulars on that. I have not had an opportunity to actually read the complaint, but I think the point that you make is a valid point, is that it is very broad and that there is a great possibility that it does, that it doesn't just affect transgender people. And that's where the process of ramming the legislation through in 12 hours could create unintended consequences.
Let's go to Charlotte, North Carolina. John is calling from Charlotte. Hi, John. You're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hello?
Hello, John. You're on. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hi. This is John from Charlotte, North Carolina. I just thought I'd give a little insight. There was one comment that the bathroom situation was the excuse to pass this, but frankly, the city council had voted actually against passing this ordinance a few months ago, and it was voted against by some people who were opposed to it, but some wanted it to go further. And when it did come back up for the vote, it did pass. But the big talk in town really about it was, it wasn't that a lot of people were opposed to it in total. It was the bathroom situation that was the concern. For situations like the concern about a creepy guy going into a woman's room because he feels like identifying himself that day as a female. And so I don't want Charlotte or North Carolina to appear as though it's, biased in that way. It's just, there's a discomfort with that situation that had they not included that in the ordinance, that kind of thing needs to get worked out. But that wasn't you know, it wasn't as though everybody was opposed to the entire thing.
John, I've got it, but Dominic, I thought that Charlotte, in fact, had acted locally against this kind of restriction, had acted for anti-discrimination.
So in 2015, the Charlotte City Council attempted to pass similar legislation, but they didn't have the votes. After the election last year, the composition of the council changed. They came back. They did have the votes to pass it. And, you know, this issue came up in the council chamber during the vote of people being concerned about what critics called men in women's bathrooms, referring to transgender women.
Yeah.
And there was speculation of a threat to safety or a threat of to their privacy. The problem that comes up is that there's no substantial evidence to justify this claim. On the other hand, violence against transgender people, transgender women in particular, is very well documented. It's very common. In 2015, the homicide rate for transgender women doubled. In 2014, the most recent year that we have data available for, the hate-motivated violence against transgender people was up 13%, even though hate-motivated violence against LGBT people as a whole was actually down. And I think that when you have legislative bodies deliberating over issues like this, city councils around the country, they are looking at the facts, they're looking at the violence, and they also understand that if you ban transgender people from restrooms that correspond with their gender identity, you ironically create this twist in which transgender men, bearded, muscular men, are required to go into the women's restroom. And so in the case of the North Carolina law, it actually creates the very problem that it claims to solve.
And that, of course, is what has been passed in North Carolina. Simone Bell at Lambda Legal in Raleigh, North Carolina, we appreciate you joining us today. We will be watching your challenge to this new law. Thank you very much for being here, Simone.
Thank you for having me, and thanks for the opportunity to speak truth to power.
Good to have you here. With us right now from Champaign, Illinois, is Robin Wilson, professor at the University of Illinois College of Law, director of the College of Law's Family Law and Policy Program. Robin Wilson helped craft legislation in Utah that advanced statewide non-discrimination protections, LGBT, but included religious liberty carve-outs, That's been gained some interest and engendered some controversy. Robin Wilson, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Tom.
Did you figure out how to thread this needle so that everybody feels protected? Is that really possible?
Well, I think the Utah legislature took a pretty good stab at that, yeah. And, you know, just to come back to what Governor Deal faced in Georgia, I think one of the real tragedies here is that there was a possibility, maybe both to allay concerns of religious people, some of which, you know, McCune identified in his remarks, while actually advancing the rights of minorities in that state. And I think Simone, maybe it was Dominique who mentioned the fact that, you know, Georgia is one of three states in the country that doesn't have any protections for anybody against discrimination in hiring. And that means black people, women, you know, LGBT people. So I think they had a real opportunity to do what Utah did, which was to extend basic protections that people obviously need in state law, while recognizing that there are, you know, questions that are hard to answer about the relationship of religion to marriage in particular.
How do you do that? How did you do that here? Guarantee full rights for LGBT people, non-discrimination, and yet protect what some religious people might call their religious liberty. They sound fundamentally in tension.
Well, I think that's right, Tom. They do. They strike a lot of people that way until you start thinking about creative solutions where we can live and let live. So, for example, you know, folks needed protection in hiring and housing. And here you have the single most conservative state in America in the last election giving more protections to the LGBT community than that community expressly has in New York law.
And yet you must have protected some discrimination, right, for the religious. In what regard did you do that?
Well, so, for example, there. Let's talk about Kim Davis. So Kim Davis blocked access to all people to a marriage function in Kentucky until Judge David Bunning tossed her in jail and broke that impasse. Mm-hmm. Utah didn't have any of these problems. They had a blind spot in their law, which was basically that folks didn't have a place to be married, to be assured of access to marriage, that preexisted a same-sex marriage in that state. So they fixed that problem, but they fixed it in a way that never put a religious objector in the middle, so there were no moments of ugliness. Specifically, what they did is what I call a religious liberty bypass. They basically said, you know what, these state offices are going to have a new function. So if they want to use any authorized celebrant in the community, a mayor, a judge, a Unitarian minister, a Catholic, whoever it is in that community that's willing to marry all people when they present, not just some people, but okay. all people who okay. present, they can use that. They can use that that device and to fulfill a new function of the office. They could use people in the office to do that if those folks were quote-unquote willing. And push come to shove, if there's nobody who wants to do that in the community, then the elected town clerk would have to do that. And I don't particularly have a problem with that. I don't think most Americans do. Because going forward, that elected town clerk knows that that is a part of that office's function when it had not been in the past.
Dominic Holden, is there a model here that permits non-discrimination and discrimination at the same time? What's the pushback been on the Utah compromise?
Well, I think a lot of people are frustrated by the idea that these two types of policies could exist in the same universe. I'm not convinced that there really is a functional compromise. There's this question, can you protect people who don't want to serve someone because of their religious faith and have protected classes of people? If someone's religion says, for instance, that they don't want to serve lunch to a person of color, then that would violate the civil rights that we have established in this country. And the precedent that we have going for a number of protected classes, people of faith, people based on their national origin or their race, is that if they are in a place that is open and doing business to everybody, then they are entitled to the same types of service as everybody else. And the religion of the person providing that service doesn't make a difference.
Well, it won't stop here, but it has stopped for now in Georgia, where today Governor Nathan Deal has vetoed legislation on this front. Moving forward in North Carolina, where it went through very, very quickly last week, and many states still in the thick of this. Watch this space. Robin Wilson at the University of Illinois College of Law in Champaign, Illinois. Thank you for joining us for a minute today, Robin. Great to have you.
Thank you.
And Dominic Holden, national LGBT reporter at BuzzFeed. Thanks for staying on top of all this, Dominic. We'll talk again.
Thank you.
Listeners, thank you for joining us today. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Thank you.